Okay. Anybody figure out what the title of my message is this morning? Just one word. Didn't hear it. I'm gonna give you one more hint. We waste a lot of it. Boy, that made it. Boy, that fixed it, didn't it? That fixed it. Right there, that fixed it. It's a little bit like I kind of felt when I was growing up in the church that I grew up from. I don't even remember. I don't think we had, well, yes, we did have a clock in the church. But we would have might as well not, because nobody looked at it. Or if they did, they wouldn't tell you they were. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me to do the best I can with this. I believe, Lord, that you've laid this in my heart, and I'm going to take by faith that you did. And I'm going to share it in such a way that would be simple, clear, and precise what you'd have us to each know about time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have our anointing service at the end. I went and seen Keith last night, and Keith's not doing as well as he should, as he could be doing. We certainly need to continue to remember him in our prayer. Every one of us here have been given 24 hours in a day. We all get the same when it comes on a daily basis. I thought that when I was thinking about this, we all get the same amount of time, but not really. Because you see, we all die at different ages. If you were to pick an age when you think you're going to go, wonder what that would be. Do you ever think about it? Some of you have, some of you haven't. I thought as a factor is thinking about the age when my parents passed. Somewhere probably between my father's passing and my mother's passing. Perhaps could be sometime when I'll pass. I don't know. None of us know that. None of us are guaranteed that, as to when we'll go. But on a daily basis, we're given 24 hours a day. Doesn't take long for that to turn into weeks, months, and years. I said in an earlier Sunday that this is the fastest year I can remember for me. This year went, and that was it. How about you? Now, when I was in school, it couldn't go fast enough. How about you? I was anxious to get out of school. I didn't really care much for school. It just seemed like it drug and drug and drug. Some of you that are in school, you'd be thinking that, because I can tell you that all of a sudden, your life will be zip, and you'll be an old man before you know it. That can happen real quick, and it does happen real quick. And eventually, it's a lifetime, just like that. The Lord has ordained the number of our days, as we read in chapter 90, verse 12, 70. How many? 70. If by reason of strength, what's the next figure? 80. So somewhere between 70 and 80, and some see 90, and Grandpa seen 106. Wow. I don't know how many I'm going to see. You know what? That's not a big concern to me. I don't think it's nearly as important how long you live as how well you lived. Some of us may have a short life. You don't know how much time you have left. I wonder how much different it would make if you were told you had 6 months. You had 6 months left to live. I wonder how that would change your life. What would you do different tomorrow if you knew you only had 6 months left? What would you do different? So why aren't you doing that already? If you do things different tomorrow, why aren't you already doing that? Because you don't know how long you have. We're only promised today. Tomorrow never comes. Do you know that? Tomorrow never comes. Because when tomorrow comes, it becomes today. God's desire is that we invest our time in as much of his work as we possibly can. That's what he desires and wants us to do. In fact, it's what he has planned for us to do. So if we're going to achieve this goal, we need a schedule. I don't know how many of you have schedules. I don't know how many of you like schedules. When I go on vacation, I don't have a schedule. If I happen to go on with somebody that does have a schedule, I make sure I don't ask them to go with the next vacation. You probably feel the same way, huh? You know, we have schedules every week. On vacation, it's just one of those times I don't want a schedule. Many of you consider a schedule restricting, but actually it frees us to do more things for the Lord if we have a schedule. You know, if you have a lot of things at home you have to do, you've sometimes got to make a list. I know I have to work on a little list. I make a little list. If the wife starts naming some things that she wants me to get at the store, I say, whoa, wait a minute. If it got past the eggs and bread and the milk, and you got something extra on that, you're going to have to make me up a list, honey. I need a list. Because the only thing that I'll remember is the bread, milk, and eggs. You understand that? That's the only thing I'll remember. So you got to make me a list. Don't go beyond those three things, because that's complicated for me. I got to write her down. I remember there was an occasion since I've been pastor, and I had three different hospitals to visit in one day. So I had to figure out which one was hurting the worst and which one was most danger and start from there. It's just the way it is in the pastorate. That's just the way it is. And they weren't hospitals within, 40-mile range. No. One had to be Geisler, and one had to be Harrisburg, and the other had to be Lewistown in one day. But that's all right. That's what you get when you sign up for this. I didn't sign up. I got the call. And it wasn't a telephone call either. It was a call. You can find out pretty soon whether you're called or they just went. Some people just go. You know, for me, it was plow marks where both of my feet drug when the Lord called me. That's just how it went. I wasn't real anxious to do his bidding. I was like Moses. If I could have thought of some more excuses, I would have. But the Lord had a way of working them excuses away and finally doing what he wanted me to do. It causes distractions. Now, you know how we have lots of distractions in life. Lots of things happen in our life that take us off our goal. A lot of things happen that takes us from our goal. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time." The King James would say, "Redeem your time," redeeming your time, because the days are evil. So let's not be foolish with our time, but we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. That's Ephesians 5:15. So the first thing that we need to make a priority when it comes to time is time alone with the Lord. I talked about that. That ran into another message that I'd given you just recently. Our first priority in time is spending time with the Lord. Before we face the day, it's a good time to spend time with the Lord, asking our Lord for direction, getting our thoughts aligned with His mind, and getting our relationship much deeper and closer than it ever has been before. I want you to see what Jesus considered. He considered this to be essential. In Mark chapter 1 and 35, it says, "In the early morning, while it was yet dark, Jesus got up and left the house." Well, where he was in Simon's house. In this particular passage of Scripture, he was visiting with Simon, who, of course, was Peter. And Andrew was Peter's brother, so Andrew was with him, and he also had James and John with him. And this is the house that Jesus was at. Now, when the voice was voiced abroad that Jesus was in the house, there was people all over the place. They came with all their sick, and they pressed strongly on the house because they wanted these people to be healed. And after Jesus healed them all, it says that he got up early the next morning while it was yet dark, and he went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Now, if Jesus needed time alone with his Father, how much more do we need time? The second thing that we need to have time for is our relationships. When I have a couple coming to get married, we have a time of counseling. And I remind them that if you're getting married, you're not going to have the same friends you used to have when you were single. It'll be a different group of friends. You'll have to meet in different ways with them. You're going to have to be spending less time with them and more time with your wife. If you want a relationship to work, you're going to have to spend time in this relationship. I usually ask, do you plan to be working? And I'm looking at the would-be wife. Do you plan to be working? You plan to have a job besides being a housewife, and that's a job, by the way, but are you going to work outside the home? Yes. Are you aware that you'll be spending 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 hours with somebody that you'll be working beside of, and you may only get to spend a few hours with your husband? Which relationship do you think is going to work? I'll tell you which relationship that I think will probably work is the one that you're working with at your work. Probably have a better chance of working than your new husband. Well, that's quite an outlook, Pastor. Well, I'm just telling you the facts. That's just the way it is. Wherever you spend the most time is usually where the relationship works. Now, that's a sad fact. You have to spend more time with your husband if you want this to work. Hello? But Pastor, it takes two incomes. I know we're living in a different time, and yes, my wife also had to work. But I can tell you, it'll present some real interesting challenges. And you better be prepared for them, because they'll come. It's things we choose to do with our time. So when children come, there's some more time you're going to need to spend. I think about the song that I like to have played during Father's Day. Trying to help me with that song. You'll know it, Jen. Where every time the son wanted to spend time with the father, he said, "Not now, not now, not right now, not right now. We'll do that later, we'll do that later." And then the boy grows up and leaves home, and now dad has time and he wants to spend with his son, and The sun says, not right now. What's the name of that song? Cats in the Cradle. That's it. That's it. Now, that's just a worldly song, but I tell you, that worldly song carries a lot of wisdom. That carries a message that every person in here needs to hear and listen to it. Because that happens so fast and so quick. And it's so true. You know what a son really wants from his dad? It isn't some spending money, although he'll take it. It's handy. But you know what he really wants? He wants time. And if there was something that I could redo, I'd like to go back and spend more time. I'd redo that. I would make more time. I just an area I feel that I failed in. And it's hurting. And when you take the time and you see fathers doing things with their sons and daughters, that's precious time. And don't you ever think for a minute that it's not. Don't take it lightly. Spend that time. Because it's well worth it. Spend it. There's many a son and daughter wish their parents would have spent more time with them. And you know, they grow up thinking, that's one thing I'm going to change when I get my children. I'm going to try to be there on the bleachers when they score a run. And they look up into the bleachers to see what mom and dad think of that run. But how many times did they look up into the bleachers and they didn't see who they were really looking for? Now, we were too busy. And sports, oh, that's nothing. My dad would have rather hunted than go to a sports game. But it's important to them. Why isn't it important to you? So yes, marriage takes time. Parenting takes time. Friendships. I could spend time with that. Friendships take time. Your true friends are those that you can really bear your heart to. Your true friends are those you can kind of empty the whole load. And true friends are those that after you empty the whole load and you've laid bare all your feelings, they keep it to themselves. They don't spread it to anybody else. Those are true friends. Those are the ones you want to find and spend time with. Those are friends. Those that after they hear about all your crazy and dirty stuff and they start spreading it to everybody else, you want to eliminate those from your friendship file, because they're not friends. They're acquaintances. They're not friends. Friends don't do that. Relationships never thrive if we don't spend time. We need to not let activities crowd them out. Make time for them. Jesus had time for those people in his life, whether it was his family or it was his friends. In Mark chapter 6, I did put a mark in there. I want to read that. Mark chapter 6, 34. Mark 6 and 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. And they were as sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. The many people that he was talking about were the 5,000. He had compassion for them. Thirdly, we have to schedule time for work. Most of us don't have any problem there. There's no problem getting to work. Sometimes we don't know when to say no when it comes to work. This is where most of us get out of balance. I used to think when I started pastoring that if I didn't spend every waking other hour that I had praying or preaching or working on messages, that I was sinning against the Lord. I remember going to a convention with an older pastor. He was a pastor in Harrisburg. He's still living. He'd be in his 80s now. His name was Brother Luke Weaver. He has quite a ministry in Harrisburg Church. He has a big church in Harrisburg, probably 300. Most of them are Amish and Mennonites because that's where he came from. He was an Amish. His wife wore a prayer cap. I was taking him home from a pastoral convention many years ago. It was right soon after I started the church here. And he asked me a few questions. He said, what are my priorities? And I said, the Lord's my priority. And I said, the church and my family. No, he said, Brother Roger, that's not right. Well, I thought it was. No, that's not right. He said, you don't have that right. He said, I want to tell you, I had the same priorities you did. God, the church, and my family. And I want to tell you something. You better switch the church and put your family where you think the church belongs. Because he said, I had the same priorities. And he said, I have a boy, and you know who he is because you went to Bible college with him. He said, gave me the roughest time of my life. He said, I thought I lost him. And he said, in many ways, I did lose him because I put the church ahead of my family. He said, there were functions that I should have been there with him, and I wasn't. And he rebelled, and he hated me. He hated me as a pastor, and he didn't want to go to church. And there were many years that he started out his life, he thought he could live without the Lord and without church. And he tried his best to do it and failed miserably. But he said, I was to blame. I put the church ahead of my family. And he said, I don't want you to make the same mistake I did. So listen to me and listen to me well. God first, your family is second, and the church is third. And there's no other way to put it. And I'm very grateful to him to this day, because I really did try to put that to work. Was there things that I felt that I should have been addressing as a pastor? Sure there is. That's normal. But I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. If I'd have lost my family, I'd have lost you anyway. You'd have fired me. And that's just what the pastor said. Priorities. We need to place them in the right place for time. So those things that I put upon myself wasn't really God's doing. It was my own doing. Work is the means by which we provide for ourselves and our families. And we're able to do it to the best of our ability as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23. If our ambition is to gain approval or riches, it will dominate our time and throw our schedule out of balance. I can go back to some other things. I could tell you that early on in my life and mid-70s, 75 somewhere when my son was born, I was selling insurance. In 1975, there were weeks that I made $1,000 a week. That's pretty good money in the 70s. I didn't make that much every week, but there were weeks I did. And you know what? I had to make a choice. I got up and left in the morning. Boy was still sleeping. He's still in the crib sleeping, and when I came home, he was sleeping. And I had to make a choice. Well, Roger, do you want to make a lot of money, or do you want to see your family grow up? I decided one day I wanted to see my family grow up, and I told my field manager that I'm quitting You're quitting. Do you realize not everybody makes that kind of money? And you can make all the money you want to make. You can make yourself a very wealthy man if you want. I said, that ain't what I want. He made a percentage of what I made anyway. So the more goofballs he could get, the better. The more hot shots, the better. And right then and there, I had to make a choice. I said, listen, I see my son in the cradle in the morning. I see him in the cradle when I come home. I said, there's not any amount of money that's going to keep me out there and away from him. Do you understand that? Or is that something you don't understand? You have any children? I do. I said, do they love you or do they hate your guts? Whew. Yeah, I said, do they love you or do they hate your guts? He said, they hate my guts. I said, I guess it didn't work out too well for you then. We got to make decisions in life. We got to make choices. Fourthly, time for rest and relaxation. God didn't design our bodies to function without rest. If we shortchange our sleep, we'll lose productivity. King Solomon said, it's vain for you to rise up early and retire late to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even his sleep. Psalms 127:2. Recreation and fun. We need to have that time. Another pastor once told me, Roger, you got to do as the scripture says. You got to come apart for a while. It said that Jesus came apart for a while. It meant that he got away from the crowds and he spent time with his Father. And the pastor says you need to come apart or you'll fall apart. That was a pretty good way of putting it. Come apart or fall apart. Some of us don't know that Sunday was created for man. God made Sabbath for man. Did you know that? He didn't make man for the Sabbath. He said he made the Sabbath for man. What does that mean? What does it mean? Go ahead. Well, yes. You're supposed to rest. He wants you to rest. You've worked all week. You need to rest. No, I got a chance. I can work overtime. And you know overtime pays double. Oh. Well, a few years, let me know how that works out. If you're too stupid to know that you need to rest, I guess then you're just too stupid. God wants you to shut down. I want you to rest. It's for your benefit. Rest. Just rest. We don't know how to shut down. America don't know how to shut down. Come apart or fall apart. Finally, and this goes along with the first one, set aside time for worship and ministry. That could have been put with number one, because I believe that's where it belongs. Just because I put it fifthly don't mean it certainly is of least importance. It needs to be up there with number one. It's very important. The author of Hebrews admonishes us with these words, let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as a habit of some, but encouraging one another. You see, something special happens when we believers gather together here on a Sunday and worship the Lord together. God is exalted. Our hearts are encouraged. Our minds are renewed with the Word, and the bond of love is strengthened. That's why it's so very, very important to make time in our schedule for worship and service here in the local church. If we isolate ourselves, we'll have no one to help when there's times of trouble. No one to serve with our spiritual gifts that God has given to us, each to share with one another. We have beautiful and wonderful gifts to share. It's important that we maintain a schedule. And it's important that we do not underestimate the time that God has given us. So the goal is that we need to be wise in the use of our time. And if we consider that God has what he has for us to do, we will allocate our time accordingly. And we're more likely to finish the course that Christ has set before us. And isn't that what we all want to do? Is to hear our Lord and Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Isn't that what we all want to hear? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Anointing service right now.